Think of the great scandals of the Bible. How would you complete this pair? David and, well, if you said Bathsheba, then you're right. David's adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband was scandalous. Yet, when the events of David's life are recounted from God's perspective in the book of 1 Chronicles, that's not the sin that God points out as the greatest blot on David's record. Welcome to Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and we're in 1 Chronicles chapters 20 and 21 today. In addition to learning what was David's greatest sin, we'll learn practical principles that will help us avoid the same sin. As you find your seat on the Bible bus, let me share a couple of great letters. This first one is from a listener in Belgrade, Maine. Thank you for your continuing work in getting God's Word out to the world. Dr. McGee's teaching style reminds me of my dad's. They preach the word and let you decide what to do with it. I believe that is how God would want it. I'm 30, raising a young family, trying my best to show them how to know the Lord as their Savior. I no longer listen to TTB on the radio, but am working through the 5-year program on my phone. My son, age 8, likes listening with me on our way to school. I know my donation isn't a large sum, but I believe in your work and want to be part of it. May God richly bless this donation and those who use it. Wow. Well, thanks, brother. That's a great testimony of how God's Word is impacting your life. A listener in Laguna Niguel, California, is excited about being a part of the ministry as well. And she writes, "Thank you so much for all that you do to spread the Word of God throughout the world. I just love hearing J. Vernon McGee's voice on my morning commute. He's like an old friend to me now. And when he says, 'May God richly bless you, my beloved,' I get so tickled because I truly do believe Jesus is speaking right through him to those of us listening. I got a bonus this year, believe it or not, in this economy, so my first thought was to give a portion to this incredible ministry. I would also like to make a commitment to give monthly. I'm praying about the amount, but do feel it's time that I pay back the Lord for his work through this ministry. I received so many blessings from TTB, and I'd like to be God's instrument to in turn bless this ministry in whatever way God chooses." Wow, aren't these encouraging letters? Well, welcome to the ministry. And you know, when you pray and financially support the ministry through the Bible, you're actually investing in what God is doing around the world and in your own heart. So we would welcome everyone and anyone to this wonderful ministry. So to find out how you can join us, visit ttb.org/give or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you for welcoming us into what you're doing around the world in our generation. Reveal to us now the wonders of your word and send your spirit to open the eyes of our hearts that we may see and savor your precious son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now here's our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, with another study on Through the Bible.
Now today, friends, I come back to 1 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, and we're in this section from chapter 18 through 20, David's wars. And we saw last time, whence come wars? What is the background of war? Well, it comes from individuals, friends. War comes because it's in the human heart, because of the fact of sin. And as long as there is going to be sin in the world, as long as there's evil in the world, there'll be war. Long as there's light and darkness, good and evil, they have to be opposed to each other. Because if they're not, it's not good and evil, and it's not light and darkness. All these are opposed to each other. Now we have seen that that's been illustrated in the life of David. This is further illustrated in this very brief 20th chapter. And we find that there are two enemies. They were the constant, persistent, and seem to be the eternal enemies of the nation Israel, and especially of David. And one was the Ammonites, and the other were the Philistines. And may I say that there's no such thing as compromise, that there are certain things that have to be fought out. And we're fighting against spiritual wickedness today in the high places. If you're a child of God, you're also a soldier of God. That's the reason we're enjoying put on the armor of God. We're not to march against anyone. We're to stand. Stand, and that is the thing that's important today. If you stand for the things of God, you're in a battle, my friend. You're in a war, whether you like it or not. And the war may cease in Asia and in Africa and Europe and in the Western Hemisphere, but there'll still be war as long as there's evil in the world. Now, will you notice, I begin reading at verse 1, and it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time that kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army, wasted the country of the children of Ammon, and came and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem. Joab smote Rabbah and destroyed it. Now, we find here that this seems rather strange, does it not? It looks like Joab was the one that was the aggressor in this particular case. And he may have been, but if you are wanting to blame him, then you've forgotten what we looked at last time. You remember that David made a friendly gesture to the young king of Ammon? The old king died, and David sent his condolences and his sympathy, and he was insulted. And immediately the new king came against David in warfare. And so this is just a continuation of the warfare, my friend. There's no compromise with evil. As long as there's light and darkness, there must be. As long as there's right and wrong just can't agree with each other. The idea today that these two can get along is wrong. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And if you're walking with evil, it's because you've compromised with it. You're in agreement with it. My friend, this is something today the world's forgetting. It's almost, well, it would be amusing if it wasn't so tragic that there's so many people that are horrified at war when it's across the ocean. But when there's lawlessness in our streets, we must learn to understand these folk today. We just must learn to appreciate them. May I say that today there is hypocrisy in our contemporary culture that is sickening beyond degree. And if it's wrong across the ocean, it's wrong here. And evil must be opposed. Lawlessness must be opposed. It has to be. There cannot be right unless wrong is opposed. Now you have here the other persistent enemy of Israel and of David, the Philistines. Verse 4, it came to pass after this that there arose war at Gezer with the Philistines. And we are told that the children of the giant were subdued. You remember this was the place where David had slain the giant. But now we find that the children of the giant are also slain. They were a constant enemy of the children of Israel. That is the message, I think, in this chapter here for you and me today. Now we change the subject altogether. When we come to chapter 21, David's sin in numbering the people. And all the way through here, I've called your attention to the fact that in Chronicles, we get God's perspective rather than man's, while in the two books of Samuel and Kings, we get man's perspective, man's viewpoint. Now we get God's viewpoint. Now back in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, why we saw something about David's sin and numbering the people, but there was, very frankly, a little confusion in our hearts and minds. Why was that a sin? And we made a suggestion or two then, but now, from God's viewpoint, we find out why it was a sin. And we now get God's estimate before it was man's estimate. And before it was the political side. Now we get the spiritual side. And we find here that we have an explanation of David's sin. Now, we are told back in 1 Samuel, we see David acting independently. And Israel sinned, and God permitted David to be the instrument. But there's something else here. Notice verse 1 of chapter 21. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now we have found the culprit here. This was satanic. Satan was back of this. Now this throws light upon David's great sin. You notice that it's not in Chronicles here, blot out my transgressions, my iniquities. That was his sin with Bathsheba. But here, Satan was back of David's sin. And I think there's something else that we need to consider here. And the question is, again, why was it a sin for David to number the children of Israel? Why was that a sin? And so I want us to look at that in a very definite way. Why was it a sin for David to take a census? All right, verse 2, and David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And that's quite interesting here. Moses took two censuses. In the book of Numbers, he took a census at the beginning of the wilderness march and then a census at the end of the wilderness march. And actually, there was nothing wrong with that one. At least God did not find fault with that. But here, now there are those that say that the reason David did this was because there was pride. Well, notice this. Verse 3, and Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? And here is the first man to oppose the computer. David wanted statistics. And there is a sin of statistics today. I tell you, everything is being computerized today. All of us are, for that matter. And there are those that say pride is the explanation given, I think, more often than any other. And I think it enters in. I'm of the opinion that we can certainly say that pride entered into this, but that certainly is not the full explanation by any means. I'd like to just turn to a passage of Scripture over in Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, God was not pleased when David took a census. Why? Because he was not delighting in the Lord. He was delighting in his might, you see. Then back of this, of the fact that he numbered them, is the awful sin of unbelief. David was trusting numbers rather than God. Now, look again here at this 21st chapter, and I'll pass over verse 4, but notice verse 5. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword, and Judah was 430,000 men that drew sword. Now in Israel he had 1,100,000 men, and in Judah there were 500,000. Now when Moses took the census, there was 603,000. David has 1,000,000 more than this man Moses did even. Now, will you look at something? What a contrast between David here and the little shepherd boy that came into the camp and saw this great giant Goliath strutting up and down and defying Israel. And this little shepherd boy didn't take any kind of a census at that time. He didn't want to number the people then, the army. He just said, let me go out after him. And how did he do it? Well, he trusted the Lord. He went out with a sling and 5 stones. My friend, you do not need God when you got 1,000,000 men. If you've only got a slingshot and 5 stones, you'll need God. And I'm afraid that today, the position that our nation is in, we're the greatest nation. I'm frankly getting a little weary of hearing that. I imagine the people in the Roman Empire got tired of hearing that also. And they did in Babylon. And certainly they did in Greece. And they did in Egypt. Those kingdoms are long since gone. Why? Because they trusted in armies. And don't misunderstand me. We're not to be fanatics and fools. An army is necessary. You need protection. But when your confidence is in that, you see, Joab says to David, David, they're all yours. You can't have any more. And all that are there, they're yours. Why count them and count in numbers? God has given you these people. It'll be adequate with God, of course. But David made a census. And today, with our atom bombs, hydrogen bombs, we don't need God. But I'm of the opinion we do need God, my friend. We're trusting the wrong things in our day. David's great sin here was unbelief. And I know that does not register with many of you listening today, because that is not a great sin in the church. Now, if you would walk into church next Sunday morning drunk, I tell you, you'd be in trouble if you're a church member. But if you walk in there in unbelief next Sunday morning, nobody would be any the wiser. And if they were, they would not think that that was very serious at all. God thought it was serious. And it was Satan that always puts unbelief in our minds and our hearts not to trust God. We trust men and armies and not God. This is the sin of statistics. May I say that they trust mathematics and not the Maker. They trust the computer and not Christ. They trust in numbers and not the name of the Lord. Listen to the psalmist. David learned his lesson. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, my friend. And David was putting his confidence in man. He learned his lesson. That's Psalm 118:8. And then Psalm 71:1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. And actually, do we really trust God? Do we really believe God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the Lord Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin. What kind of sin? Because they believe not on me. And the apostle says that which is not of faith is sin. This is the sin of David, and it was real sin. David began to see that this was a terrible thing. Will you notice verse 8 here? And David said unto God, I've sinned greatly because I've done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I've done very foolishly. Now, the Lord's going to put before David several avenues. He can actually make a choice of punishment. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, now this is verse 10, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David, said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years' famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. Now listen to David, and this is tremendous. This is great. Oh, this is outstanding. I hope you agree with me by now that David was a great man. But he was human like I am and you are. He stumped his toe. He had his faults. He committed his sin. But he never lost his salvation and he never lost his zeal and desire for fellowship with God. And he knew God. Listen to him. Verse 13. David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. Now here is the man that was trusting man. He had a census made. Now he sees. I think that David is an old man now. I think he looked back and remembered that little shepherd boy that went out with his slingshot and those five smooth stones. And at that time, David was trusting the Lord, you remember. Oh, his testimony. But he does like a great many of us. We trust God for salvation, but we don't trust him for the problems of life. And David now, he looks around about his enemies, and they are in great number now, of course. They're giant nations. And David wonders whether his army is big enough. He didn't think whether his God was big enough. His God was bigger than the giant. His God's bigger than all the nations. But David takes a census. How many times have you and I taken a census? We didn't really trust God. We put our faith in something else. Didn't really trust him. And now David says, don't let me fall into the hand of man. I don't want to trust him. I want to fall in the hands of God. Why? Because he's merciful. David had learned that God is merciful. I'm afraid many of us haven't learned that either. He hath not dealt with us according to our iniquity. He hasn't rewarded us according to our sin. If he did, we'd be in a bad way today. You know why? God is merciful. And he's merciful in salvation. You know, God holds out salvation to a lost world. And on what basis? Why, he is the mercy seat. You remember John says in 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. What is propitiation? Mercy seat. He has an abundance of mercy. And all you have to do if you want to be saved, friend, go into court with God, plead guilty, and then ask for mercy. He's got plenty of it. That's the way he'll save you. There's a pardon for you. You must claim it. Then there's the mercies of God and providence. I look back on my life, and I think, oh, how good he's been. He's merciful today toward an unsaved world. Why didn't last night? Why didn't judgment come? Because God is merciful. It's coming someday, but he's long-suffering. He's merciful. And he's merciful to us. He pitieth his children. He looks upon us. And then, my friend, may I say to you, there's mercies of God for the future. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good. Psalm 136, 1. God will never cease to be merciful. It's not a happy disposition with him. It's not a development of character. He didn't read the book, How to Make Friends, Influence People. God is merciful. And David casts himself on the mercy of God. Now, friends, we're going to pick up right there next time. So until then, may God be merciful to both you and me.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let that psalm linger in your mind today. Let it prompt gratitude to rise up in your spirit as you think about all the ways that his goodness has pervaded your life. You know, that practice will help you avoid the sin of unbelief that we studied today. You know, over the years, many have appreciated having Dr. McGee's notes and outlines alongside their Bible when they study a particular book of the Bible. Well, you can download those notes and outlines by the book by typing into your browser ttb.org followed by a /, and then the name of the Bible book, like ttb.org/revelation. Now, we've also added a new feature. You can get all of these resources in one book called Briefing the Bible, which is the compilation of all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines. Briefing the Bible is available in two free formats. First, we've got a printed book, or you can download a digital version for free. For either version, go to ttb.org/briefingthebible and follow the instructions to either download the free Briefing the Bible or fill out the form to request your copy to be mailed to you. Or as always, you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now next week, we'll pick up in 1 Chronicles where we left off today and continue our 5-year journey through the Bible.
Crimson stain, be washed in white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.